Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Vav. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, David Fran's mother. Her yard site is today. Her name is Yospit Bas Kalman. We're also learning Le'ilui Nishmas Phil Ice. Pinchas Ben Mordechai, whose yard site also is today. All the Nishans we learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin on the very, very top line, first words of Kuf Vav and Aleph with the Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa tells us as follows. Chalitza Mutas Kshera. A chalitza that is done with a toe, so it's done with a mistake, is nevertheless a good chalitza. So what do we mean by a mistake? Ezohi chalitza mutas. What exactly mistake occurred over here that we're calling this a mistaken chalitza, but it's still good? So Amar Reish Lakish, the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Yochanan, Reish Lakish tells us, kol she'omrim lo chalotz ubekach atokonsa. They're tricking the person. The Yavama doesn't want to get married to this Yavam, but he's refusing to give chalitza. So they tell him, oh, if you want to marry her, this is what you have to do. You have to do chalitza, and then you'll be married to her. So we tell this Yavam, chalotz, do chalitza to her, and that way, ubekach atokonsa, you'll in fact marry her. Once he does the chalitza, of course, he's no longer allowed to do yibam, Reish Lakish says, and therefore, we've accomplished what we wanted to, that this Yavama doesn't marry this Yavam. That is Reish Lakish's opinion of a chalitza mutas, and it's perfectly good. That's what he says. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, that can't be. I teach, and he's shown there from another braisa, Ben Shinaskavin Hu, Velon Iskavin He. Ben Shinaskavin He, Velon Iskavin Hu. We had learned this braisa previously. Rav Yochanan says this braisa, that if one of them had the improper intention, so if only he had the kavana to do the chalitza, and she did not have the kavana to do chalitza, or vice versa, she had the kavana to do chalitza, and he didn't have the kavana to do the chalitza. Chalitza also psula. It's not a good chalitza. The only way it's a good chalitza is achi skavnu shteim kiyachad. They both have to have proper kavana. So how can you, Reish Lakish, argue with this braisa? The at, you're saying, Reish Lakish, at amriz, chalitza sekshera, you're saying that this chalitza is good? When we're tricking this guy, he absolutely doesn't think he's giving a chalitza. He thinks he's doing somehow the act of yibam when he is giving her this chalitza. So how could that be good? So therefore, Rav Yochanan says that's incorrect. Ella, Rav Yochanan's idea of a chalitza mutas is as follows. Kol she'omrim lo chalotz lo, we tell this guy, go and do the chalitza, and she will give you money. Amanas shetitain lecha masayim zuz. When you do the chalitza, she will owe you 200 zuz. So he does the chalitza, and then she doesn't have to pay the 200 zuz. And therefore, this is a mistaken chalitza. He thinks he's getting 200 bucks, but he's not. In fact, though, it still is a good chalitza. Top Rashi over here tells us, even though she doesn't give him the 200 zuz, nevertheless, the chalitza is considered a good chalitza, and this is based upon the Gemara in Ksubos, where it says, we learn out the rules for something that's done with a tanai, something that's done on condition, from the famous story with Bnei God and Bnei Ruvain, that they were told, if you go into Eretz Yisrael and go and conquer the land and fight for the people and stay there until the kibush is done, so then you're entitled to get the Eber HaYarden land that you're requesting. And then we have the Tanai Kofel. And if you don't go in and do that, so then you're not entitled to the land in the Eber HaYarden. So that is the paradigm for learning out the halachos of a Tanai. So it says, in that situation, She'ef Sholei Sanos, you can, in fact, make such a tnai when it's done al yidei shaliach. If it's done via a shaliach, it can be accomplished via shaliach, then such a tnai works. For example, Sha'asa Moshe es Yoshua shaliach, Loseis Levin Sarah Segila. Moshe basically made Yoshua into the shaliach to do this tnai. And therefore, have a tnai tanor. And therefore, this tnai worked. And therefore, the whole tonight, the loev sholas osayde shliach, Rashi tells us that any tonight that can't be accomplished via shliach, for example, going chalitza, that you can't do chalitza via shliach. You have to have the person, the yovim's right foot. You can't send somebody else and have them be the person who's having their shoe taken off. And therefore, if it won't work via shliach, ain't tonight moel ba. Therefore, the tznai won't work. So therefore, when we tell this guy, do the chalitza and you'll get 200 zuz, it doesn't work. And that's tamo shodover. So Rashi says that's the reason over here why Rav Yochanan says that the chalitza is a good chalitza. The tznai doesn't take away, if she doesn't fulfill the tznai, it doesn't take away from the fact that the chalitza is a good chalitza. And tani nami hochi, we have a braisa that supports what Rav Yochanan said. What does the braisa say? Chalitza mutas kshera. The braisa says beferish that the chalitza mutas is kshera. This is the same braisa that we brought down at the top. And then it tells us, ezohi chalitza mutas. What is the definition of chalitza mutas? Kol sha'omrim chalot slamanash titim chamayim zuz. This braisa says further information that says, the chalitza mutas is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, that if you tell the person, do the chalitza, and she'll give you 200 zuz, umaisa b'isha achas, and once this exactly happened, shenof lufnei yavim she'en hogan lo, this woman fell to a yavim that it was inappropriate for her to marry. We've mentioned many times that the Beis Din, for the words dabru elof, the Beis Din is told, tell the person that sometimes it's hogun and sometimes it's not hogun. If they're the same age and they're compatible, so then the Beis Din will give the Eitzah, no, do Yibam. Because in those days, Yibam was the preferred way to do the mitzvah rather than to do Chalitza, which is what we do nowadays. But even then, in those days, when Yibam was ideal and optimal, nevertheless, if there was a difference in age, it was he was much older than she was, or she was much older than he was, so they would tell him, listen, this is not a good idea. It's going to bring ketato, it's going to bring fighting into your house, it's going to bring not a good marriage, so therefore do Chalitza rather than Yibam. So the Beis Din here says there was this Maisa, this woman, it was inappropriate for this woman to marry the Yavam. So what did they do? They told him, Ramallah, listen, Chalotz law, he didn't know the halacha. They said, do the Chalitza, and in this way, Amanash, Titalam Chayin Zuz, and she'll give you 200 Zuz. And he did it, but she didn't give the 200 zuz. So now, in retrospect, do we say the chalitza is null and void, or do we say, no, it was a good chalitza, and tough luck, you don't get the 200 zuz. And the maisa came in front of Rabbi Chia, and he said, this is a perfectly good chalitza, so we pass in this braisa, and in fact, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says, the chalitza mutas is kshera, is referring to. Not like Reish Lakish, who says that we mislead him, and tell him, in a different way to mislead him, that this is the action via which you're going to do yibam, by doing the chalitza. Okay. The Gemara says, how do you also look at Rav Chiya bar Abba? There once was a person that came to Rav Chiya bar Abba to do yibam with his yavama. Now, Amalah, Rav Chiya bar Abba said to the yavama, biti amodi, go and stand up here. Rashi explains in this first pshat that Rashi gives, amodi visyav milo, go and stand up and let him do yibam to you. In other words, go and marry this person. That's the first pshat in Rashi. There's a second pshat in Rashi, Lishna Achrina, where he says that she was lame and he told her to stand up and she wasn't able to do so. Anyway, we're simple like the first pshat in Rashi. So he tells her, Chiya bar Abba tells this young lady, this Yavama, biti amodi, go and stand up. In other words, go and become the wife of this man. However, Armelah, either Ema or Ema, her mother, who's there, she came there for supporting her daughter. So she tells to Rabbi Rabba, listen, I don't think this is a good idea. She doesn't want to marry this Yavam. Yeshivasa zuhi amidosa. Rashi explains over here, she doesn't want to. She's sitting down here to demonstrate that she doesn't want to do Yibam with this person. She doesn't want to be his wife. Shivasa zuhi amidosa. So Amalos Rechiva Rabba says to the mother, you really know this for sure? You're that lay? Do you know for sure that she doesn't want to do this? So Amalai, the mother says, yeah, 100%. So she said, the only thing he wants over here is Mamona hu dechozolah. She was obviously a wealthy widow, and this brother was somewhat nefarious, and he says, listen, I'm going to go and marry her, as Rashi says. He says, the mother says, I know for a fact, shame boli yabma, he doesn't really want to do yibam with her, he just wants to eat all her money up, and get rid of all her money, and then, and as soon as she has nothing left, he'll go and divorce her. So, this was not the right shidduch for her daughter, and therefore the mother said, I don't want yibam to occur over here. The kabbal amich, let me know, all he wants to do is use up all of her money, and then he's going to divorce her. So Amalah Rechiya bar Abba said to this Yavama, he wanted to make sure that the mother wasn't making a story up, lo nichalach. So he asked her, no, do you want this shidduch or not? And she said, no, Amalai, lo, I don't want to marry this guy. Mom was absolutely correct in explaining what my feelings were. So Rechiya bar Abba wanted to help them out. So Amalai, he said to the Yavam, chalotzla ubekach ata konsa. So Rechiya bar Abba said exactly what Reish Lakish's opinion was, go and marry her via doing chalitza. And in this way, you'll be able to take her in yibam. So this person who was unfamiliar with the halacha, obviously, went and did chalitza. Labasa de chalatzla, after he did the chalitza, now he thinks he's going to marry her on my lay. So Rav Chiya bar Abba said to the other, now it's too late. Hashda minoch ifsalallah. You no longer are able to go and do yibam with her because you gave her a chalitza. And while this chalitza may not be perfect, it's enough to apostle you from doing yibam to her. How this exactly works is a machlokis amongst the poskim. Some suggest that since she had das that this should be a chalitza, so therefore it's enough of a das to ruin the fact that he can do yibam with her. Others say that Rav Chiya bar Abba was just trying to trick him and get him to now think that he can't do Yibum with her anymore, and he would do chalitza. In any event, he told her, chalotzlo, chalitza, ma'ayza. Now give her a real chalitza, because you can't do yibum with her anyway, so kihechi detish deri lama. What do you, you have nothing against this woman, so this way she can go marry somebody else. You can't marry her, so don't ruin her life. Go and give her chalitza so she can marry somebody else who would be muteris l'shuk. Okay, so Rav Chiya bar Abba seemed to do a ma'isa like Reish Lakish had suggested. Okay. Gemara continues and tells us another story. It's a very difficult to understand story. From the very end part of it, the first part is the pure halacha. The end part will have difficulty understanding. In any event, Bas Chamua the Rav Papa, the daughter of the father-in-law of Rav Papa. In other words, it was his wife's sister. Or possibly it was his wife's stepsister. In any event, it was his father-in-law's daughter. Never, her husband passed away, and the brother there was not somebody that was appropriate to go and do yibam with this yavama. So also coming to Abaye, so the yavam came to Abaye and said, I want to go and do yibam with her. So Abaye says, Amalei, Abaye says to the yavam, chalotzla ubekacha tekonsa. He does, Abaye says exactly what Reish Lakish had suggested, exactly like what Rav Chiya bar Abba just did. He said, do chalitza with her, and in this way, that enables you to do yibam with her. In other words, he was tricking him in order to make sure that the marriage didn't go through. Now, Rav Papa was there. Now, Rav Papa here is the father of this yavama. And he says, wait a second, that's not right. Amalei Rav Papa, Rav Papa says to Abaye, don't you hold like Rav Yochanan? Why are you passing like Reish Lakish? Lo sovel amar, lo dom Rav Yochanan. We normally pass like Rav Yochanan over Reish Lakish. And we had a brice in support of Rav Yochanan. So don't you hold like Rav Yochanan that you shouldn't do this? That what Reish Lakish said, that's not considered a good way to prevent this Yavama from having to marry this Yavam. Why aren't you doing what Rav Yochanan said, which is say, give 200 zuz and do the chalitz and you'll get the 200 zuz. Why don't you do that? So Abaye asked him, "Nu, should I do that? What should I do?" So Amalei. So Papa says, "Do what Rav Yochanan said. Tell him you'll get do the chalitza and then you get 200 zuz." Okay. So Abaye listens and he paskins over here does what Rav Yochanan had suggested, like Rav Papa told him. Levasar the cholatz law. After this yavam does the chalitza, he wants to get his 200 bucks. He wants to get his 200 zuz. So Abaye says to the yavam, "Nu, amalei zil havlei, go and give him the 200 zuz, like we had said." Abaye did not hold that this was a trick. He said this was a tanai, and go and pay the 200 zuz that you said you would give him if he gives you a chalitza. So Rav Papa again doesn't like this. Amalei, Rav Papa says to Abaye, "Mishata ani becha of dolei." No, this is a rule that we have that a person, when they sometimes make a certain financial statement, they can say, "I was just kidding. I was just joking." The person says, "Listen, do me a favor. Go get that. I'll give you $1 million." So it's clear he doesn't mean I'm going to give you $1 million if you go and do that. This is mishata anibach. I'm joking over here, and therefore I don't owe you the $200. After all, isn't that what Rav Yochanan was basically saying? Milo Tanya, didn't we learn in the Braisa the following? If somebody's running away from jail, there is a river or a body of water in front of him, and there's a guy there with a boat who takes people from one side of the river to the other side of the river. There's no bridge, and he has to get from side A to side B. As Rashi explains, Ma'avar Yam Besvina, the way to get to the other side is to go take this little boat. So he tells the boat driver over here, he tells him, Barmalay told Dinor Vahavi Raini, I'll give you a dinar, which is a huge amount of money, to take me to the other side. Nope, the guy does so. So he takes him to the other side. He says, where's my dinar? So the halacha, the brisa tells us, is ein lo ela schara. He only is entitled to get whatever he normally charges. Normally he charges a tenth of a dinar. He charges a small amount to take people from one side of the river to the other side of the river. That's all he's entitled to. Even though this guy who was running away from prison didn't want to wait. The boat guy said, listen, I normally wait till I get 5 people on the boat because otherwise it's not worth my while. So he says, listen, I'll pay you the entire amount for all those people. So I'll give you a dinar to take me across. So therefore, ein lo ela schara. In this situation, the person can say, Alma, Amalei, Mishatani Bukha. I'm just joking. I never meant to really give you a dinar. And therefore, I don't owe you the dinar. I only owe the regular fee. So that's what Rav Papa said to Abaye. Just like that Braisa says, we apply this principle of Mishatani Bukha. So therefore, so too, Hochanami, Mishatani Bukha. The Yavama can say to this guy, I was just joking. I'm not giving you 200 zuz. I just wanted the chalitza. And I had no intention of giving you the 200 zuz. Now, that's what Rav Papa says, that Abaye should tell the Yavam, he's not entitled to 200 zuz. Instead of telling Rav Papa's daughter, you have to give him 200 zuz. Amalei. So here's the part where it's going to be difficult to understand. Amalei, Abaye says to Rav Papa, Avuach Hecha, where is your father? Does your father live in this town? Amalei, yeah, B'masa. My father lives over here in this town. Imochecha and your mother, where does your mother live? Does she live in this town also? I'm like, yeah, b'masa. So her papa says, yeah, she also lives in town. And then here's the part that'll be difficult to understand. Yoebhu ene ushkivon. Abaye, so to say, looked at them. He was thinking about them. Labdafkin, he literally looked at them. He was thinking about them. And as a result, they both died. Rav Papa's parents both died. So obviously, this is very strange. So the first and most important thing to understand is that Abaye certainly had no intention of hurting in any way or shape or form the mother and father of Rav Papa. But what happened over here, according to some of the Mefarshim, is that Abaye, as we all know, was famous for being an orphan. His father died shortly after conception, and his mother died during childbirth. We have throughout Shas that we have the maidservant, the Amsa, the Abaye, the woman who raised Abaye, the maidservant who raised Abaye. So we know that Abaye never had either of his parents during his lifetime. His mother died right after he was born. In any event, so this was something that Abaye was obviously very sad about. And when he sees Rav Papa, who was so medactic, as Rashi says over here, Kelomar, ki medum ani sheyesh lecha ovein, smuchin lecha, lesapek tzarchecha. I see from the fact that you're able to be so medayik, you know exactly, say, no, don't go like Reish Lakish over here, go like Rav Yochanan. And then you had the brisa about Meshatani Bicha. So I see that you were a person that had plenty of time to go and spend and learn every single diuk over here, every single halacha. It must be because you had a mother and a father that could support you. Smuchin lecha lesapek tzarchecha. And that's why you're so sharp, because you never had to earn a living. You never had to go and work. You're just able to sit here in the Beis Medrash and just sit all day and learn, which is wonderful and beautiful, and that's why you're so sharp. And that's what Abaye said. Oh, now I see why you're so sharp. But this was, again, in some way, a kitrug against Rav Papa, that Rav Papa now was in a position that in Shemayim, they're looking at him, because Abaye basically has said, wow, you are so fortunate that you have a mother and a father that can support you in this way. And sometimes in Shemayim, when they look at things like this, because he caused somehow anguish to Abaye, so they're saying in Shemayim, is this fair? Is everything right? And sometimes when the microscope of Shemayim is looking at you, so things can turn out in a way that's not so ideal. And that's the best explanation I can come up for as to why Rav Papa lost both of his parents. Not the Chas HaShalom Abaye did anything, either intentionally or unintentionally, but in Shemayim there was a kitrug against Rav Papa, and this was the end result. In any event, it's a very difficult to understand story. Certainly Rav Papa didn't do anything wrong, and certainly Abaye didn't do anything to hurt Rav Papa's parents. Okay, we'll go weiter. Mora tells us, we've had this several times already, that a mistaken chalitza is done with some sort of mistake in it, is nevertheless ksheira. But the Braisa here tells us, gate mutah basul, but a gate that's given with a mistake, if there was an incorrect giving of a get, then that get is not a good get, and the woman is still considered fully married. So the difference here between chalitza that's a mistake, that is good, and a get that's given with a mistake that is not good. Then the Braisa continues and says, chalitza meuseis. A meuseis is somehow a forced chalitza. Chalitza meuseis is we force the guy to do chalitza. So that's no good, psula. He has to do it of his own free will. As opposed to a get meusa, a get that is somewhat forced is kosher. Now this obviously requires explanation, because number one, a get can't be forced. And number two, why should there be a difference between chalitza and a get? They're both separating the husband and wife potential. And by the Yehovah, giving the chalitza meusis is no good, and she's still zukuka liyovim, whereas by a get, we're saying that it is good. So this needs to be explained. So let's first explain the first part, because the Gemara doesn't explain that, Rashi explains that. Why is the get mutah no good, pasul? So in eno kayemes tenor, the efshol leget ayideh shaliach, shomil l'shnayim, kisu v'snu get l'ishti, harei lo yichtavu v'yitnu, hilchok domil l'shnay b'nei got, u'mahane bei tenor. So by a get, well, you can give a get via shaliach, so if the tenai doesn't come through, if you say, for example, give this woman a get, and we'll give you 200 zuz, so then he gives her the get. If he doesn't get the 200 zuz, then the tenai is not fulfilled. The get is not a good get. So that's how Rashi explains over here, as opposed to by chalitza, which you can't do via shaliach, a get which can be done via shaliach, therefore, if the tenai is not mukuyam, so then the get mutah is no good. It's possible. So that's how Rashi explains the first part of the spaisa. But now the Gemara is going to say, why by the chalitza meuseis is it no good, but by the get meuseis it is good. That we have to explain, the Gemara will explain that. Hechidami, where it says, what is the scenario? If it's Idama Rotsani, if in fact the Yavam or the husband says, I'm willing to give the Chalitza, I'm willing to give the get, so then Afilu Chalitza Nami, even if he's forced to do it, but he says, I'm willing to do it, so then it's a perfectly good Chalitza, as well as being a perfectly good get. And if in fact the Loama Rotsani, if in fact he's refusing to do it, and we twist his arm until he actually does it, so then it's not a good Chalitza, as well as it's not a good get. Get Nami Lo. It's not a good get as well. So what exactly are we talking about that sometimes the chalitza muses is no good, whereas the get is good? So where it says, this is what the Bryce is telling us. Chalitza mutas li'olam kosher. A chalitza that's given with a mistake is always good, as we explained, because it doesn't follow the laws of the Tanai of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, because it can't be done by a shaliach. That's the way Rashi understands this. Again, there are other ways to understand this. That's the way simple Rashi understands this. Whereas the get mutar li'olam pasul. Whereas the get that's done with a mistake, since it can be done with the Tanai of Bnei God, Urei, Ruvein, with the Shaliach. So therefore, if you don't fulfill the Tanai, the get is not a good get. Very simple. But Chalitza Me'useis, the get Me'usa, but the Chalitza that is forced, or the get that is forced, so Zimnim Koshev, Zimnim Pasul. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not good. And it all depends. Hod the Amarod Sani, if the man ultimately says, I want this, even though he may be forced, so we threaten him with imprisonment, we threaten him with financial penalties, etc. So he says, listen, I don't really want that, and therefore, Rod Sani, therefore, I'm willing to give it, so then it's good, whether it's a Chalitza or whether it is a get. And Hodulama wrote Sani, when it's not good, that's if the person says, I really don't want to do this. We're twisting his arm. He says, I don't want to give this get. You're hurting me, and I'm going to say yes, but I don't really mean it. So in that situation, both the chalitza and the get are no good. Rambam has a famous understanding over here. If we force the person, and he says, wrote Sani, how's that called wrote Sani? Because the answer is he really wants to do what's right. And it's only his Yetzirah that's preventing him from doing the right thing. So by forcing basically his Yetzirah to be removed, so then the person really truly wants Rotsani, he really wants to do the right thing. That's the underlying understanding of how this get Me'usa works. And again, we have to be very careful. We're learning more in Gittin and other places. So a get Me'usa is not a simple thing. A get that is forced inappropriately from a halakhic point of view is in fact not a good get. So it really has to be that he says Rotsani for that to work. Now we have a brisa that says exactly like we just said, the Tanya. This brisa explains, Yakriv Oso, when the pasuk tells us that a person has to go and bring a carbon. So for example, if a person says, Im Ola Karbono Min HaBakar, if a person says, I'm going to bring Ola from my Bakar, Zohar Tomim Yakrivena, I'm going to bring a certain unblemished male animal, El Pesach Obuwei, Yakriv Oso, Leard so no, Lifnei Hashem. So we have this seemingly contradiction. It says Yakriv Oso, and then it says Leard so no. So when it says Yakriv Oso, Milame Shekofen Oso, that we force him to bring it, he says, I changed my mind. No, we force him to go bring this Ola. Yocho Baal Karcho. So I might have said it means Baal Karcho, but then the pasuk says Talmud Lomar Leard so no, which means he has to do it of his own free will. So how can you say Yakriv Oso, we force him, but then you say Leard so no, that he does it of his own free will? Oh, so that's exactly what we say over here with the gate Me'usa. Okay, Tzad, how do we explain this seeming tautology over here that it says Yakriv Oso, Leard so no, so Kofin Oso, Achyoma Rotsani. So the Brisa means we force him until he voluntarily, willingly goes and wants to bring it. And similarly, the same thing applies with a get. The man's recalcitrant. He doesn't want to give the get to his wife. So we do certain things to him. Kofino, so we force him. We threaten to put him in jail. We threaten to give him financial penalties. Until he says, I willingly am doing this. So that's the seeming contradiction in the pasuk, where it says, Yakrivo so, Baal Karcho, but Lirtso no, willingly. So that's how we explain it. Yes, we can do certain things that go against his seeming free will, but it's really what he wants to do, and therefore it becomes Lir Tzono. So this works both by this carbon, and this works according to this brisa for the get Me'usa. Again, only under certain circumstances. Gemara continues and says, I'm a Rav Huna. Chaltsin, Afel Pishein Makirin. Mamanin, Afel Pishein Makirin. When the woman comes to Basin to have a chalitza, or a woman who had a marriage that was only midrabbanim. And the Raisa, father can marry off his daughter, even if she's a ktana. But if the father died, or if the father once married off his daughter, midaraisa, and now she gets divorced, so the father no longer can marry her a second time, daraisa, so this can be called a yisoma b'chayaviyah, and the father can marry her only on a derabbanan level. In any event, this is the derabbanan marriage, the woman has the right to leave it at any point in time without a get, and this is called miyun. We've learned this before, and this miyun is done in front of a basin, so she'll have some sort of a proof that she, in fact, walked away from this marriage and doesn't remain married to this person, because people remember the chasana, and she won't have a get, she won't have a shtar, she won't have anything, so therefore we do this for a basin, and they'll give her a document that says, yes, you in fact did miyun. The difference between a get and miyun is that the get, the giving of the get, that is what accomplishes the separation of the husband and the wife into being now a divorced woman. As opposed to the miyun, just as saying, I refuse, that makes her into no longer a married woman, and the shtar of the or what's called the get chalitza. Get really means a document. We use it in the vernacular, it always means what we call a divorce, a get. But a get means a shtar. And therefore, she'll get some sort of a shtar from Basin to prove that she did miyun. But that shtar isn't the way the separation was effectuated. Her saying, I don't want to live with this guy anymore, that's what effectuates the miyun. As opposed to, by a get, it's the get, that actually the giving of the get from Reuven to his wife, that's what goes and makes the wife divorced. Okay. So this statement, said over the name of Rav Huna, says that the Beis Din, if they don't recognize the man and the woman over here, the Yavam and the Yavama, nevertheless, the Chalitza can be done in front of them. Cholten Av B'Shem Akirim. These two people come. They say, listen, we're a Yavam and a Yavama, and we're not going to get married. We want to do Chalitza. Beis Din doesn't have a clue who they are. And Beis Din says, sure, no problem. And likewise, the woman comes and says, I'm a Ktana, and I'm walking away from my Dirabon in marriage to Yankel. So even though Beis Din doesn't recognize her, Mamanin Afabish Ein Makir, even they don't know her. Now here, the husband doesn't have to be there. Miyun can be done without the husband. He doesn't have to be there. So that's in this situation that they don't recognize her. Labdafka, they don't recognize the husband because he doesn't have to be there. So by Chalitza, they're both there, and the Beis Din doesn't know that he's the Yavam and she's the Yavama. They claim that they are. And by the Miyun, she claims that I married the Rabban and I want to walk away from it. So this statement that Rava makes the name of Rav Schorim, makes the name of Rav Huna, says that they're allowed to go and do this even though they don't recognize the players. But, Lefikach, because they don't recognize them, Ein Kosun Get Chalitza, Elim Kein Makirin. Therefore, they don't write this get. Again, get means document. They don't write the get chalitza. They won't write a document that this woman, in fact, has undergone chalitza, unless they can state with certainty that, yes, we know that this is the Yavam and this is the Yavama. And similarly, the Ein Kosin get Miyun. They don't write this document of Miyun. Again, has nothing to do with the get. The don't get confused with the halachic usage of the word get and the vernacular usage of the word get. Here we're using the halachic usage, which means that it's a document. So the Ein Kosin get Miyun, we don't write the base and won't write a document for this young lady saying that she, in fact, did Miyun in front of them, Elo im kein makirin, unless they know for a fact that she is this young lady who's in this derabbanan marriage. Why not? Why don't the Beis Din write a document? They allow the Chalitza to occur in front of them. They allow the Miyun to occur in front of them. Why don't they write a document? The Chayshinu LeBeis Din Toan. Because we're concerned over here that the Beis Din made a mistake since they didn't check it out. So, in fact, this wasn't the Yavam, this wasn't the Yavama, and we're now being Matir, a Yavama, Lashuk, when she really is still a Zika to her Yavam. We're, in fact, matering this woman to no longer be considered married to Rabbanim, when, in fact, this wasn't the woman. It was a fake. And this woman is still remaining married to her husband, Midrabanan. And that's what Rashi explains over here. Lefikach, this idea that we allow the Chalitza and the Miyun to occur in front of the Beis Din, even though they don't know them, but Lefikach, Hol, Viniskoke Lehen, Afal Bishen Makirin Osam, and Kosu Get Chalitza. We don't allow them to write it. The witnesses that are there, we don't allow them to write something up because that could lead to a terrible Churva. It could lead to this woman being Muteris Lashuk when she's not really Muteris Lashuk. This woman being Muteris to marry anybody that she wants, even though she didn't undergo a real Miyun. So therefore, the rabbi said, we're not writing it up until we know for a fact that this is the Yavam, the Yavama, and this is the woman who's Mimam Enes. And therefore, no Takala will come by allowing the Chalitza and the Miyun to occur in front of the Beis Din. So there's no Takala that can come. Therefore, they allow them to do the Miyun and do the Chalitza in front of the Beis Din because they're not going to write up any sort of a shtar. That's the first opinion. Rava disagreed. Rava said it's over the name of Rav Schorah in the name of Rav Huna, but Rava himself disagreed. But Rava Didei Omer, his own personal opinion was, Ein Cholten Elam Kemakirin, the Ein Memanin Elam Kemakirin. He says, no, the Beis Din is not going to let a Chalitza occur in front of them unless they know for a fact who the Yavam and Yavam are. They're not going to allow a woman to be Memanis unless they know for a fact that she was married Midrabanan to this person. And therefore, Lefikach, since there's no potential Takala, since Beis Din isn't going to allow this unless they know for certain, Kosin get chalitza af bishen makirin. The kosin get miyun af bishen makirin. Therefore, the Edim, even though they don't know, the Beis Din knows, but the Edim don't know that this is the Yavam and the Yavama, nevertheless, the Edim can write down that, yes, we saw this. They'll write a document. Yes, we saw this chalitza occurring between this person who claims he's the Yavam and she claims she's the Yavama. Even though we don't know this, the Beis Din knows it. And therefore, we can testify and write this down for all time that we saw this chalitza take effect. Likewise, even though they don't know the woman who's mamamenes, but the beis din does, so therefore the edim can go and write this down and say, yes, we saw this miyan occur in front of the beis din, even though they personally don't know the woman, but since the beis din would not do this unless the beis din knew, they're allowed to write this down, and therefore, lefika, kosu get chalitza afal pishay makirin, and kosu get miyan afal pishay makirin. Why? We don't concern ourselves that the beis din made a mistake. Now here, Rashi points out this is a different lashon. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's understanding because it's a different lashon. The first time we use that we're concerned the chayshin and the beis din toin, we're concerned that the court is going to make a mistake. The next court that's going to come is going to go make a mistake. The next court is going to accept this get that would be written. That's why they don't write it, because the next court's going to accept this get when it shouldn't have been accepted. And here, the ain. We're not concerned that the beis din will make a mistake. Lo chayshin and the beis din toin is because we don't have to assume or be concerned that the beis din doesn't really know this yavam and yavama. We don't have to worry that the first beis din is going to make a mistake. In the first case, we worry about that the second beis din is going to make a mistake, that they're going to accept inappropriately this get that was written when they were not makirin. And here we're talking about that we don't have to be concerned that the beis din really doesn't know the yavam and yavama, the mamanes. Well, lo chayshin and the beis din toin. We don't have to be concerned that the beis din is making a mistake. Now we turn to Kuf Vav Amud Beis, and we begin a new Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Mitzvah Chalitza, how do you do the Mitzvah Chalitza as follows? Now we've talked about this outside, here's the Mishnah telling us inside. What happens? Bahu, the Yavam comes to the Beis Din, the Yavimto, and his Yavama, they both come to the Beis Din, and Vehein Masiyin Lo Eitzah Halgeneslo. Again, based upon the Pasuk where it says, the Karlo Zikni Iro, the Dibru Elov, so therefore, they have to tell him what's appropriate or not. They go look at this and say, you're the same age, you're compatible. So then, yes, we recommend that Yibum be done, which again, in the times of the Gemara, was the preferred option. When you had Yibum with Chalitza, you did Yibum. If you couldn't do Yibum, only then did you do Chalitza. So the Beis Din would go, they were commanded by the Torah, B'dibri Lov, to go and give advice to the Yavam. Yes, do Yibum, or no, do Chalitza instead. So when the Yavam and the Yavam came to the Beis Din, they masin lo eitzo genis lo, as the Pasuk says, Shinema, b'kor lo zikin iro, B'dibri Lov, so they would give him the advice. The Yomeris, and then to start off the Chalitza, she would have to say the Psukim, Nei Ein Yevami Lohokim Li'okiv Shem B'Yisrael. Gemara in Sota tells us that she actually said this in Hebrew. They would go and quote the Pasuk to her, and she would repeat after them that my Yevava, Yevami, he refuses, Mi Ein, that's the Lashon who refuses from the Mamenes, has nothing to do with Miyun, but it's the same Lashon, so Mi Ein Yevami, my Yavam refuses, Lahakim Liachiv Shem Yisrael. That's what the Pasuk says, and she has to say the whole Pasuk. My Yavam refuses to go and be Makayim, his brother's name, be Yisrael. He refuses, in other words, to do Yibam with me. Lo Ova Yabi. He doesn't want to take me in Yibam. So she says this whole Pasuk, right? This is one Pasuk. Me'ein Yavami, Lahakim Liachiv Shem Yisrael, and then Lo Ova Yabi. So that's all one Pasuk, and she says this Pasuk. That's her responsibility to say this pasuk in the ideal performance of a chalitza. Then the Yavam responds to Omer, yes, lo chafatzdi lekachta. So that was a different pasuk. That was the pasuk of Karlo Zikne Iro, Bidibre Lo Viomar, the Omer, lo chafatzdi lekachta. This was the pasuk that comes right after this first pasuk, lo ovo yabmi. So he then says his pasuk. So she says first her pasuk, then he says his pasuk, and the Mishnah tells us, and this has to be said in Hebrew. Again, none of this is ma'akev, but the proper way to do it, the Gemara in Sota tells us, based upon psukim, is that this should be said in Hebrew, in the exact lashon of the psukim from the Torah. Then the Mishnah continues and says, you have the next pasuk that says, the niksha yevimto elov li'ene hazekenim, the yevama comes in front of the zekenim, the cholzanalo mi'araglo, and she removes his shoe from his foot. Again, we've already darshan that this is the right shoe, certain type of a shoe, a sandal, from his right foot, mi'al raglo, and then after she does that, the yorko before him, she goes and spits in front of him, not on him. People mistakenly think she spits at him. No, she spits in front of him, and it has to be rok hanira lidayonim. It should be something that the dayonim see that the spit comes out of her mouth and passes by this yavam. Okay, now nobody says these psukim. This is what they do next. Then the Mishnah continues and tells us the next step. The final step is they again say psukim, as I mentioned many times previously, and here's where we get it from. First, this psukim that she says, then the spukim that he says, then there's the actual chalitza, then there's the rikika, the spitting, and then finally, there's additional psukim that are said. She says, the pasuk says, that she has to say. And she goes and says that this process, this chalitza, is what happens to a person that doesn't want to go and build up his dead brother's house. Fine. The Mishnah tells us, Akon Yom Akrin, this is all that you have to say. However, Ukshehikra Rehurkinis, Tacha Soelo, Bekvar Etam, when Rav Hyrcanus would do a chalitza, and he did them in this public place in the area of Kfar Etam, underneath a certain tree, so he concluded the end of that pasuk. He didn't stop and say, Asher lo yivne es beis ochiv, the gomer is called a parsha. He would read the rest of the parsha, which says, the onsav yom makoch yisrael ish, Asher lo yivne es beis ochiv, the nikro shmo b'yisrael, beis chalutz hanal, which is the next pasuk. So he said, you have to read the next pasuk as well, and that became the minhag, chusru lios gomrim kol parsha. So to read that first pasuk tes, which says, "V'onso v'yomra koch yisrael ish asher lo yivne es beis ochiv," and then you read pasuk yud, "V'nikra shmo b'yisrael beis chalutz hanal." That's the minhag that Rav Hyrcanus established, and that was the way it was done. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, this last pasuk, "V'nikra shmo b'yisrael beis chalutz hanal," so that's mitzvah b'dayanim. Who says this? So this mitzvah wasn't said by the Yavama. This additional saying of the pasuk was said by the Beis Din. Mitzvah b'dayanim. And the original thought in the Mishnah here is v'lo mitzvah b'tamidim, but the Tamidim didn't do this. But Yehuda disagreed. Yehuda Omer, no. Mitzvah akola omdim shom lomar chalutz hanal. That everybody would say this chalutz hanal, and we'll see, the Gemara will say it. They said it three times. Chalutz hanal, chalutz hanal, chalutz hanal. We often say things three times to be mefarsing something and to give it emphasis. And therefore, Rav Yehuda says that it's not only the Dayanim that said this last pasuk, but all the Tamidim that were there would also say chalutz hanal. Gemara starts and tells us, "Amar Rav Yehuda, mitzvah chalitza." How do you do the mitzvah chalitza? Korah, the free she first reads the pasuk, like the Mishnah said. Then the Korah, then he reads the pasuk. Then the chaletzah, then she does the chalitza, the removal of the right shoe, and Rokelka. Then she goes and spits, and then the Korah, and then she reads the last psukim. So that's what the Amora Rav Yehuda says. The Gemara says, "Michael Mashallah and Masnisini." We don't find Amorayim just quoting Mishnayis without either saying they're quoting a Mishnah or just giving it their own interpretation. This is the Beferish Mishnah. Amorayim don't tell us things that are in a Beferish Mishnah. So what is Rabbi Yehuda adding over here? So Gemara says, no, he's adding a big chiddush. Hokam Ashvalon, mitzvah hochi. That the mitzvah, the ideal way to do it, is the way the Mishnah describes. However, the apich less lon ba. But if he doesn't do it in this right order, or if he doesn't even do the psukim at all, so then if he messes up the order, as we already pointed out, the seder, the order, is not ma'akev. And that's the chiddush of what Yehuda is telling us over here. And the Brisa supports this, as we've already learned this Brisa. Tani nami hachi, ben sheikhtim chalitza l'rkika. Whether you did the chalitza first as you're supposed to, and then you did the rkika, or you did it out of order, or ben sheikhtim rkika l'chalitza, or the woman spit first, and then she did the chalitza, bottom line is, ma sha'asa asui. Whatever she did is good. So either the order is done out of order, it is okay, except it will be the edit. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Baye, Hai man de makre get chalitza." Rashi explains in Dira Masa, the makre get chalitza. This is talking about the judge. Ha makre yisisha b'shas chalitzasa. He's the one that tells the woman, "You say this pasuk." He says the pasuk for her, and then she repeats it. That's called the makre over here. So Baye says the one who's reading over this get chalitza. In other words, he's reading the psukim. Others understand this differently. Others understand this that he would actually be reading it from the Get Chalitza, the document that they would draw up. He would actually read it from that, and that's what it's referring to. In any event, Abaye says he has to be very careful. The one who's reading it shouldn't say, Lo likre l'didah. When he's saying the pasuk for her to say, he shouldn't say, Lo l'chude, and then the Ovo yabmi l'chude. He has to be very careful that he doesn't say, Lo, and have a pause, Ovo yabmi, right? She has to say, Lo ovo yabmi. He is not willing to do yibam with me. So that's what the pasuk means. Lo ovo yabmi. He doesn't want, my yavim doesn't want to do yibam with me. But if you have too long a pause between lo, no, and then ovo yabmi, the mashma, ovo yabmi. It sounds like she's saying that the yavim wants me, and that therefore is the opposite of a chalitza. So Abaye says you have to be very careful not to pause too much between the words lo and ovo yabmi. So it shouldn't sound like it's two separate statements, and it could be mistakenly understood as ovo yabmi, my yavim wants me. And therefore, Abaye says, be very careful, Ella, lo ovo yabi. Say it all in one breath. Likewise, lo likre l'didei, when he's reading the pasuk for her, he shouldn't make it paused in the following way, lo chafatzti. When we say the pasuk for the oven to say, lo chafatzti, I don't want to take her, so we have to make sure that there's no huge pause. The lo likre l'didei, when they read this to the yavam, they shouldn't separate too much. Abaye says, lo l'chudei separately, and then chafatzi l'chudei, which sounds like I want to take it. The mashma chafatzi l'kachta, that I do want to take her. Again, make sure you say it, ella lo chafatzi l'kachta. You have to say it in one breath. You shouldn't separate out the words lo and chafatzi, so it shouldn't sound like it's talking about a different intention than what the pasuk really means. That's what Abaye says. Rava says, no, that's not true. We don't have to be concerned about this. This is the normal way people talk. So if they pause in between, that doesn't change anything. Rava Amar, afsuke milsehi. This is a normal way of talking. It's separating the words. We don't have run-on words. Others have the gears over here. The Masoros HaShas points out the Gemara in Sukkah, and the Bach brings down over here the other gears that is from the Rif and the Rush, where it says, asuke milsehi. Vasuki Milson less lon ba. This is considered as if it's one statement. It's the end part of the statement. It's the sof of the statement. And therefore, we don't concern ourselves that there was a pause in between. That's obviously not meant to separate the statement lo and ovo yabami and lo and chafatzli. It's just the normal way of talking. So Rav is not concerned about this. Rav Ashi Ashli Chayla Rav Kahana. Galashi was watching a Yibam, and he saw the Rav Kahana, the Komet Star. He was very careful. He took painstaking steps, umakilo lo over yabvami, to make sure that he said it in one breath and not to separate the words. So Amalei, so Rav Ashi is Rav Kahana, lo savalei ma loha de Rava. Don't you hold like Rava that says, afsuke milsa or asuke milsa, that it's no big deal? So Rav Kahana says, Amalei, mo de Rava below over yabbi. Rava was strict about lo over yabmi. He agreed with Abaye that. He only wasn't strict about lo chafatzti, but he was also strict that you should make sure that you say lo over yabmi in one breath, so it shouldn't sound like over yabmi. Even Rava was maskim to that, and that's why I was very careful to say lo over yabmi in one breath. Mark continues and tells Zomar Abaye, when you write this down, Hayman de Kosav Gito de Chalitzos. Again, the technical word get means a document. When you're writing down this document of Chalitzos, it has nothing to do with our vernacular usage of the word get. When you write down this document of Chalitzos for the woman, so she'll have proof that she, in fact, had undergone Chalitzos. This is the way the basin should write it. Livto Hochi. You write down, Akrunina Lidida. We made her say the words Min me'ein yadmi, as we brought down the pasuk, she says me'ein yadmi lohakim lohakim shem yisrael lo over yadmi, and you say that entire thing me'ein yadmi at over yadmi, and likewise vakrinu l'diday, the basin writes down in the document that we said in front of him, and the yovim said the words from min lo ad lekachta. That's the other pasuk, lo chafatzi lekachta. You have to write down the entire thing, vakrinu l'dida, and then at the end they write down that she said after the chalitz and the rikika. We read the end of the pasuk, which was pasuk tes and pasuk yud. There, we write the end of pasuk tes. So they write this all down. But what Abaye is telling us over here is that they don't literally write it down. They can write down just the words that we mentioned over here. You don't have to. They said that they said all of this, but they don't actually write it down. So the way to understand the Abaye's statement goes as follows. They didn't actually literally write in the document the entire pasuk. They only wrote the beginning and end of it. They would write, Lichtov Hochi, you only had to write down in the get. Not they said the entire thing, but they only wrote down the get. Lichtov Hochi, Akrinu Lidida, we read to her, Min. And they only write the words, Me'en Yavami, Ad Ovoyabi. They only wrote those words, and they didn't write all the words in between. And they only wrote, Lo Likachta, and they didn't write chafatzti. And at the end, they only wrote kocha ad chalutzana. They didn't write all the intervening words. Why not? So Rashi explains, according to Abaye, you have a problem over here. Mibnei shaget eino misurtot. They didn't score the get. They didn't write an etching out on the get so you could have it clearly. And lo boy lemichtav kule pasuk. And therefore, they couldn't write the whole pasuk because we learned the more in Gittin, the Kaimelon, and kosin dalet tevos below sirtut. You're not allowed to write down the words from the Torah unless you do sirtut. And they didn't do sirtut. They didn't etch out the line that they would write it upon. And therefore, Abaye says you couldn't write out the entire psukim, but they wanted to have it to get that they said the psukim. So we write these words, me'en yavami ad ovayabi. They wrote the word ad instead of filling in all the psukim each time. That is the opinion of Abaye. On the other hand, Mazutra, he did sirtut, misartate. So he scored the document because of the Kula Parsha, and he actually wrote out all the words of the Parsha. Maskvla marbaridi, volo nitali kosev, but wait a second, you're not supposed to do this. How could Mazutra do this? You shouldn't do this scoring, you shouldn't do this etching out, and write the entire Parsha. So Gemara says, v'yuchus the Mazutra. No, we passing like Mazutra says, you're allowed to do this. This is basically an exception to the rule. Rashi brings down the Ramas of the Chusuk Mazutra. The Kosvin, we are allowed to write out here the entire pasuk, even though there's normally a prohibition against writing more than three words. The Lodami, the Kosvin, Megillah, Latinok. This is different than the discussion about writing a series of psukim for a child to learn from. And this is not comparable to that. The lo dami lekosi begilu l'tinok l'slami bo, for the purpose of the child learning from it, because there the hasam adaita the parshaso ksivle. The purpose there is to have a written Torah for the child to go and learn from, albeit a small part. That to have a kimagila ketana, and that's intended to be a small piece of the Torah. And we have a rule, v'kimlan Torah chasuma nitna, that an entire Torah is given, and you can't write out part of it. Avalhai sviras devarmu. But here, you're not doing it for the kedusha of having this written. You're doing this as a description of what happened. V'la b'kedusha sehu. And it doesn't have kedusha to this document that's written out. Hilkoch, Hilso Kamar Zutra. Therefore, the Gemara concludes that we possibly like Kamar Zutra in this situation, the Bemokul Mitzvah Shari. Since you're doing this for the purpose of a mitzvah, it is permitted to go and write out the entire pasuk. Gemara continues and says, Amar Abaye. Abaye says, what happens if Rokokosh, she spit, however, Okla Tatu Haruach. As she's spitting out, a wind comes, and the wind takes the spittle away and doesn't have it go in front of the Yavam. So Abaye says, lo asa lo klum. That's not called spitting in front of the Yavam. My time, because the pasuk says, v'yorka bifanav ba'inon. You have to spit before the Yavam, and here the wind blew it away, so it didn't go in front of the Yavam. And therefore, Hilkach, we have the ramification of that is the following. Let's say the Yavam is very tall, huarach, and the Yavam is very short, v'gutza. So in this situation, when she spits, and klotatsu haruach, and the wind takes it away, nevertheless, since he is much taller and the wind blows it higher up and away, it still is considered ikar b'fanav. It's as if she spit in front of him because she is short, and when the wind blows it up higher away, it's still in front of him. But the other way around, where she is, he aruka, she's very tall. Who goes? But the Yavim is a smaller guy, so when she spits and the wind takes it away, it never went in front of him. So this situation, it would not be yotze because b'inun adamati lahadei apei v'hadar ozo. Din is that we require, but you know, that we need that the spit should be in front of him. And ad demotil hadeya pei, and until it comes in front of his face, it's not considered good. V'adar ozo. Only then, if the wind takes it away, it's fine. But here, since she is so much taller, when she spit in front of him, it never went in front of him. It went higher up and away, and therefore, that's not considered acceptable. Amar Rava, Rava says another din. What happens if she has spit due to an extraneous factor, a food that she's eating causes that lots of spit? So does that change the din? Ochla tuma, for example, if she ate tuma is shuma, which is garlic, the tough and the shin are interchangeable, and then she spit. So it's the garlic that caused her to have the salivation and not her natural salivation. Or likewise, ochla gargishta. Gargishta, Rashi says, is a certain type of thick earth, like a thick dirt, a certain type of clay. And then she spits because of that. So that is not considered that she spit. That's called something else caused her to salivate, and therefore lo asa lo klum, according to Rava. Why? My time, because the pasuk says, v'yarka, that she has to go and spit, which implies me'atzma b'inan, that she has to have her own spit. And this shum, or the gargishta, caused it to have the spittle, and therefore v'lek, it's not called her spit. That's because the spit comes from another factor, and therefore it's no good, according to Rava. Furthermore, Rav says another din, Tzricha dayani lemechzei roka. The dayanim have to see the spittle, ki nothik mi puma di yavama, when it comes out of her mouth. So they have to see it. It's the pasuk says, Dechsev, le'edei hazekanim. It has to be within the eyes of the zekanim. They see that this spittle comes out, and then v'yarka. So it has to be, she shall spit in front of the eyes of the zekanim. So, therefore, if the zekanim don't see it, it's not good according to Rav. Following the quote at the end of the Mishnah, where it said that the last pasuk is also included based upon Rabbi Hyrcanus, Miniko Shmo B'Yisrael, Beis Chalutz HaNoal. Then we had a machlokes, the Tanakhama said that only the Dayanim said this, and Rabbi Yehuda said that even the Talmidim there have to say this as well. Tanya, the Braisa supports what Rabbi Yehuda said. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda stated, Pama Achos Yisi Yoshim with Nei Rabbi Tarpon. One time I was at a Chalitza where Rabbi Tarpon was presiding. Uvos Yavama Lachlos, so the Yavama came to do the Chalitza, and Rabbi Tarpon told everybody that was assembled over there, Amar Lanu, he told all the Talmidim, including Rabbi Yehuda, Anu Kuchab, all of you have to say, Chalutz Hanal, Chalutz Hanal, Chalutz Hanal. Say three times, all of the assembled people have to say it, they're not just the Dayan. That's what Rabbi Tarfon said. Rabbi Yehuda quotes this, and that was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah as well. And therefore, they all say it three times. As I pointed out, three times is to be befarsim the Dover, and to make it much more publicized and well-known, and to clearly state that this woman now is a Chalutza. Hadron lechem mitzvah chalitza, hadron lechem mitzvah chalitza, hadron lechem mitzvah chalitza. With this, we conclude today's shir and the beautiful 12th parak of Yud.